Okay, the word human. This is another pet peeve. I just want to rant at this. I hate it when I hear somebody that's an identity Christian say that human means huge man. That just like, oh man, that's so cringe first. That is really cringe in the first place. Second is so far from being the truth. It's absurd. I made this forum post on November 4th of this year. I may have added a line or two to it for this presentation. This is a subject that keeps coming up among people newer to Christian identity, mostly because it is repeated by many old school Christian identity pastors and their students. And Wickstrom, in this regard, James Wickstrom was one of the worst. The word human does not mean huge man, and it never had that meaning in any language, period. First, the word hue, which does basically mean a shade of color, is given the following definition in the Oxford English Dictionary. Old English. H-I-W or H-E-O-W. I won't try to pronounce them. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I'm not sorry. Okay. Also, form, appearance, obsolete except in Scots. So those words, H-I-W and H-E-O-W, are obsolete except in the Scottish language, I guess. And it says, of Germanic origin, related to Swedish H-Y, meaning skin, complexion. The sense color, shade, dates from the mid-19th century. So hue, the word hue, as color or shade in English, is from a Germanic term, but it's a relatively new term in that meaning. The etymologies given in other dictionaries mention an Old Norse root for the word, rather than Swedish specifically, and mention a related Old German variation. There are a couple of words with similar sounds and spellings in Hebrew, but they're pronouns, which have nothing at all to do with color, so they must be considered to be completely unrelated. And you can see Strong's numbers, 1931 and 1932. But they're pronouns. They're only similar in spelling and pronunciation to some of these old European terms. No Germanic terms had ever lent themselves to classical Latin, as the Latin language was fully developed long before the Romans ever had any contact with German tribes. The first such contacts are recorded in histories and occurred in the early 4th century BC, when certain of the Galatahi or Gauls had sacked Rome. The word humanus in Latin basically means kind or compassionate, a trait which the ancient Romans believed distinguished men from animals. The following definitions are from a Latin dictionary, which I cite very often whenever I need Latin, the New College Latin and English Dictionary by John C. Troutman. These are the Latin words from which came the English word human. Humana. It has an E at the end, but it's not silent in Latin. Humana is an adverb. Like a human being, politely, gently, or with compassion. Humanitas is an adjective. Human nature, humanity, kindness, compassion, human feeling, courtesy, culture, refinement, civilization. Humaniter is an adverb, like a human being, reasonably, gently, with compassion. Humanitas is an adverb, humanly, humanely, kindly, compassionately. Humanus is an adjective, of a human being, humane, human, kind, compassionate, courteous, cultured, refined, civilized. So the Latin words, humane, or humana, humanus, etc., have no relation to skin color. Rather, they describe traits which belong exclusively to men and women. Of course, I include women when I say men. The terms really have nothing to do with race. But it is also true that men in ancient times did not perceive those traits in the black races. One clear example of that is found in the writings of Diodorus Siculus. Siculus means of Sicily, where Diodorus lived, died, and was buried in a town called Agirium in the first century BC. And he wrote in Greek, but I'm sure I can't prove he knew Latin. I read all his works, of course. I don't remember if he ever mentioned the Roman language. A lot of Romans spoke Greek colloquially, and Latin was really the language of the government, the military, the priesthood. So Greek was very common even on the streets of Rome, and that's sort of well known. There's a lot of Greek words that made their way into Latin, but no German words that I've ever seen. So, the following is from an essay I wrote in 2003 titled The Race of Genesis 10. And I threw myself on a digression and forgot what I was going to say, part of it. Diodorus Siculus was very familiar with Virgil, the Roman poet, with the court and the circumstances of Julius Caesar. He was very much aware of Roman politics, so I'm sure he knew what he was talking about, and I'm sure that a lot of his expressions here are also expressions which were common in his time. That's my opinion, but I'm willing to bet on it. So the following here is from an essay I wrote in 2003. Titled The Race of Genesis 10, and I pray this doesn't bore y'all because I've used this in a few podcasts when I needed it, and it's simply the best description I have from antiquity of the difference between the black and white races of the time. So, in my Race of Genesis 10 paper, I was describing Cush, which became known as Ethiopia by its Greek name in Africa, and Cush was originally white. So, in the first 11 chapters of his third book, Diodorus Siculus draws from much earlier historians, as he also did for whomever he wrote about, to describe the various peoples of African Ethiopia. And it is evident that those tribes contrast with one another quite starkly. The first Ethiopians he discusses are endowed with what we may consider a well-developed form of, quote-unquote, Western civilization. For he states, they say that they were the first to be taught to honor the gods and to hold sacrifices and processions and festivals. Now, generally speaking, the Greeks saw European culture as originating not mostly in Mesopotamia, but in Egypt. They looked at Egypt to be the fount of their culture because there was a lot of early exchanges between Egypt and the Greeks. The story of the Danans, for instance, who fled Egypt and settled in Greece in the Peloponnese, is notable. It's a notable story, and it's told in the Tragic Poets, which I've cited in other contexts. So the Greeks had revered the Egyptians, and that's why the Macedonian Greeks, when they conquered Egypt, when the Egyptian part of Alexander's empire fell to the Ptolemies, they really did become Egyptians in mimicking a lot of their customs and things like that, but they had actually isolated the natives that they found there. because they were all mixed race bastards by then anyway. So they isolated them and they acted as if they were Egyptians to a great extent. So to go on, they quote Homer in reference to themselves, and that's speaking about some passage in Iliad Book 1. They recount the unsuccessful invasions into their country by Cambyses and Semiramis. And Semiramis was a semi-mythical. She wasn't mythical. She was really the wife, but her exploits were mythical. So she was a semi-mythical Assyrian queen from the 8th century BC. So they recount the unsuccessful invasions in her country by Cambyses, the Persian king, the son of Xerxes, and Semiramis. And they claim that the Egyptians were originally Ethiopian colonists, led by Osiris. The two types of their writing, like Egypt, popular or demonic, and sacred or hieroglyphic, are described. And it is said that the sacred is common among these Ethiopians. Their priests were very much like the Egyptian. They believed that their kings gained sovereignty by divine providence. Their laws and punishments were from custom, and they practiced the same flight of refuge which the Greeks did, which is basically like the Hebrew Levitical cities of refuge. An Ethiopian king under Ptolemy was educated in Greece and studied philosophy, and aside from a few odd customs, there is no reason to believe that those Ethiopians, whose physical characteristics were not mentioned, were anything but civilized and not much different than the rest of Western society of the time. But in stark contrast to those cultured Ethiopians, which Diodorus first discussed, beginning at Book 3, Chapter 8, Paragraph 1, in his Library of History, he says, "But there are also a great many other tribes of the Ethiopians." And here it is apparent that, like Phoenicia and other labels, Ethiopia had become merely a geographical designation rather than an ethnographical one. "Some of them dwelling in a land lying on both banks of the Nile and on the islands in the river. Others inhabiting the neighboring country of Arabia between the Nile and the Red Sea or the Persian Gulf. And others residing in the interior of Libya, which is the rest of Africa to the Greeks, and Sudan here in relation to Ethiopia. But the Greeks, the ancient Greeks, basically split all Africa into three pieces, Egypt and Ethiopia, which really weren't seen as being but half in Africa, because they divided the line between Africa and Asia with the Nile River. So there was Egypt, the African half, Ethiopia, the African half, and the rest of Africa the Greeks called Libya. The Romans called it Afer. And I believe that's the place the Hebrews called Ophir, from which the Romans got the name. But that's another digression. So, others residing in the interior of Libya, the majority of them, and especially those who dwell along the river, are black in color and have flat noses and woolly hair. And here it is evident that Diodorus is describing the Nubians and other wandering black tribes of the region. And he continues, "As for their spirit, they are entirely savage and display the nature of a wild beast and are, as possible, from human kindness to one another, and cultivating none of the practices of civilized life, they present a striking contrast when considered in the light of our own customs." So surely it is apparent here that if we do not have a white culture in Ethiopia in an era not long before Diodorus's own, we certainly have at least the remnants of one. Ezekiel chapter 30 lists Ethiopia among all the mingled people, and all of this fits very well with the picture of a once Caucasian but now adulterated Cush in that region. So here it should be fully apparent that the word human was never intended to describe any so-called hued man. But in fact, it means just the opposite. In truth, the words in Latin describe traits, which are generally expected to be found in white people, but which are very often never found in non-whites. So these old school identity Christians, and especially the Jim Wickstrom crowd, they say that human means hued man. No, human can only be applied to the white man because it means civilized, compassionate, and gentle and kind, cultured, refined, and civilized, courteous. So what nigger fits that description? If anything irritates me, it's the fact that too many old school identity Christians keep repeating fables that have no basis in fact, something which continually discredits our cause and makes us look like complete fools. Every time somebody that claims to be CI and says, oh, human means hued man, we're not human, they're actually inverting the truth on its head. Only some Jew could have thought of that. Only some Jew could have thought up that trick to get a whole bunch of people that call themselves CI to make total idiots of themselves, I swear.